Shalom out there in Torah-seeking land. Hey, Don, good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, it's overcast. First time we've had an overcast day here in Salem. Gosh, in 2 weeks.
You must have got here early today. It's been that way for a bit. You know, earlier in the morning when normal people get up.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, hey, how's you did let everybody know that you had a little zipper problem there. If there's a seamstress that could help Jamie out.
I don't want to go into detail.
Yeah.
but it just broke. Okay.
I know.
I tell you what happens. When you get older, everything starts going. Hey, Don.
Oh, don't start that.
Okay, we'll behave. Okay, good morning and shalom, 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 everybody out there in Torah-seeking land. Today we have a great radio show. We have Jim Staley, who's going to be out here at the end of the month. And, I was listening to Jim's Chosen People. You have that on, I think you have that on what day?
We play Chosen People. Well, actually, I'm not sure. Jim's on every day at, I think, 2 o'clock or 2:30. And then on weekends, he's on like four times also.
Well, that series on the Chosen People, I think there's two of them, but he was doing it. And the reason I did it is because we had Irmai got that CD for you because you needed it. But Irmai, you know, our good friend.
What'd she buy or get?
She got a CD because she doesn't have, she just has radio, and she doesn't have everything to make that CD, so we made her one.
Oh, you made her one. Okay, right.
Yeah. But anyway, The Chosen People is an excellent teaching. There's so many good teachings on this radio station. You could just sit 24/7, Don. And I actually know some people that, and you guys ought to get a life, that sit around and listen to the radio all day long. I mean, it's amazing. And they get so much
information. Well, that's the deal, Jamie. They are getting a life.
They are. They really are.
Out of all the teachings and all the learnings and all the things that didn't matter before, now they're finally, not finally isn't a good description, but we have the opportunity to know what our Father intended us for and how to start changing our minds and saturating ourselves with the teachings from the station. It's a good way to do it.
Well, it's so many variety of teachers. Like we, I was listening to Ralph Messer at 6:30. Then I was listening to Monty Judah at 7:00, and then at 7:30 I was listening to Brad Scott. And each one of them have, something catches your ear. I mean, I just walked by for me. Now that maybe not everybody else, but it did catch my ear. Monty was talking about a situation back in 1999 when a situation which really changed his life where he felt the Lord had spoken to him. He was depressed and he didn't know why. And then he had something go wrong with him physically. And then he was at the height of his career. And then all these things started happening to him and he didn't really understand why. And he went through a lot of different things in his process. He couldn't even get out of bed for a while. He had to really work his way out of bed every morning to go to work. And finally, after 2 years of suffering, he said, "Lord, it's enough. It's enough. Help me." And the Lord did help him, gave him the answer, said, "Listen, this is," he said that, he said, "Oh, it's about in the tribulations."
May I say, interrupt your story and tell everyone who might be concerned about the use of the title, the Lord. We recognize that the title, that word, the Lord, is a title, and it actually means husband or master, and that it is also coming from the root word Baal or Baal, and that it also is probably replacing Yod Heh Vav Heh. Just in case you were concerned about that, we wanted everyone to know that, yes, we do know the true names deriving from Yod Heh Vav Heh, whether it's Yahuwah, Yehovah, Yehowah, Yahweh, and so on. But I just know that there are some people that are concerned about sometimes.
I think it's good, but see, we lost my whole train of thought now. Can I finish now?
No. I just want to make sure because okay. I know that when you use the Lord, some people really just really bothers them. So
it does
I just want to help
people.
Them right out.
I want to tell them to get over it. Okay.
That's your word for the day, your phrase for the day. Get over it. Okay. Finish. Monty Judah was in a terrible time of depression.
Okay. But when he asked, he felt the Lord spoke to him again and said, "Look," he said, the footmen are now, but the horsemen are coming. In other words, we got to get ready. If we don't go through certain things and understand that we got to be overcomers in our mind, there are days that are coming that we got to prepare in our mind to be able to overcome. Like, I went to a Sukkot one time. Matter of fact, it was at Monte Judas, And I was, yeah, go ahead. And we were, and I actually had my family there and the fire going, and I made a mistake. Can you believe it? Jamie made a mistake. I kicked this can, and it had gas in it, and the gas ran up my leg, and it burnt me third degree. I mean, it was an awful burn. It was the first night of the camp, and I was really thankful that they had such a good emergency crew because they came out there, and they got it all taken care of, wrapped. We had to roll in the dirt to get the thing out. It was a mess. But that leg was damaged for the whole week, so I had to go through Sukkot, 8 days of on crutches and, you know, going, letting that heal. But the reason that happened was it was preparation for me and for other people, too, to see that we have to be prepared for anything in the wilderness. When we go, we've got to be ready. And it's not the same as sleeping in a nice warm bed every night. It's not the same as getting up. You know, every night it's cold and it's warm. So anyway, we want to go back to what we're doing today, because today is going to be one great show. We got Jim Staley, who's going to be out here on the 27th, but he'll be here on the 28th and the 29th. And this is exciting for you people out there. I think there's going to be a local church. They called me and they want to see if we can arrange him to teach on one of those days themselves. So we're going to share Jim, and I think we got Jim on the line. And I know last week we had a lot of trouble with the board, or I did. You weren't here, Don. You were sleeping in. And
anyway, I was being a good husband.
You were being a great husband. And by the end of the day, though, we missed some of the show, and so a lot of people requested. Boy, that was one of the best shows about finance I'd ever heard. And so we kind of want to, if you can, Jim, do it. Well, do some of that just to refresh people.
When we string it out over several weeks like this, too, it's good to review. And I know that you're a great teacher, Jim, and you already know that. So it's your show. And in fact, we've got almost 2 hours today. And so why don't we just try to get as much of it in as we can? Does that work for you, Jamie?
Yeah, it works great for me.
Morning, Jim.
Good morning, everyone out there. In Salem land, I guess we are.
Oh, no, we are all over the place, including, I need to tell our satellite listeners, we are now on the same satellite system, KU-band satellite system, that GLC is on. And so we're all over the Western Hemisphere, North America, South America, and Central America. And we want to make sure that you get back into us by some emails, Don at the T2TN.com or Jamie at T2TN, because it's important that we hear from you. If we're going to pay for this thing, we need to make sure that it's a good deal for our supporters.
That's great. Matter of fact, just yesterday, I was, on a personal note, I was helping my parents put up their GLC satellite, and it only took us a good 2 days to get it to work, but now that I know you guys are on there, I'll have to tell them that.
Oh, it's an easy installation, huh?
Well, the installation was easy, but they tell you the coordinates to point the satellite. And did you guys know that when you put these satellites up, I thought, okay, this thing's got a 24-inch dish. You know, it's certainly you can be within a degree or two. Oh, no.
You got to be exactly.
You have to be on. When it says 189.4 degrees, you have to be at exactly 189.4 degrees or you do not pick it up. It's very, very sensitive. I didn't realize that about satellites.
How many channels are they picking up?
Oh, there's probably maybe 10 channels that are on that particular band, and I didn't check any other channels.
Well, I think there's lots of.
Well, they cost somewhere between $200 and $250 and probably $100 to install. Let me tell you, it's well worth the $100 to have somebody install it for you.
Yeah,
we do have directions on our T2TN website with the exact coordinates and how to find it and all those things.
Yeah, it's not. You have to have a really good compass that tells you degrees and. And there is a little trick to it. It wasn't super difficult, but I can see for a lot of people, if they don't have the right tools, it's definitely going to be a little bit of a challenge. So I would agree it's worth $100 to have somebody come in and do it.
Okay, Jim. So this morning, I know that you've been busy back there in Missouri land, getting everything going for your ministry. But today, have you had much response from New Mexico on your teaching on finance?
You know, we have. We have had an amazing response just from, I mean, just even when we were there, the response was the largest response that we had ever had at any conference or teaching that I've ever done anywhere. We had literally, our booth was just completely swamped. We had people in line, you know, 20 deep, just wanting to dialogue, to pick up resource material and to learn further. You know, this concept of tithing giving. It's been such a matter of fact, this has been far more response than I ever expected. And I'll tell you why, and it shouldn't shock me, because the concept or the subject of money in the New Testament is the most talked about subject, and it's mentioned over 2,000 times. The next closest subject is mentioned 200 times. So it's 10 times more talked about than any other subject in the New Testament. And it just goes to show you that our pastors over the last, 20, 30, 40 years have picked up on that. And it has become the most talked about subject in the pulpit, probably 10 times more than any other subject is the subject of money. And how do I know that? Is because of all the people that have come up to me and have emailed me, have called me and said, Jim, I have never heard a message like that revolving around tithing or money. And like you said, people say this is the best message I've ever heard on money. Well, maybe it's not the best message that they've ever heard on money. Really, the reality is probably it's the only message they've ever heard that's been preached differently, biblically, about money. And so when the soul, spirit man, hears something that is true, it excites them. And so I think it has less to do with me as a teacher and more to do with the subject matter, that it's biblical. It's just biblical truth, and their spirit man is responding to that. And that's why the title of this particular message is called Life Giving Life, a biblical look at tithes and offerings. Because it does. When you have true life, it gives life, and the cycle continues to go.
Well, it really is a lifestyle message, that's for sure, because our actions seem to follow our money, I guess. So it really says a lot about how we change our lives based on what we do with our resources. And so we're going to take a break here in about 2 minutes, so I don't want to get into the whole teaching just yet. But I do want to talk about the Bedouin Feast that's coming up, Jamie, on the 28th, 29th, but also we're having the Arab Shabbat service on the Friday night, 27th.
Yep, we have the Friday night service, which is going to be a special evening. We have a special Israeli guest who is actually, for all you out there, he's a brother Judah that's still working on finding Yeshua. He hasn't had the veil lifted off his eyes, but we love him like a brother.
It's really interesting that he can recognize that we are his brothers coming home, Ephraim coming home, but he doesn't recognize the vehicle by which we come home.
Well,
which is Yeshua.
We will interview him, and we'll see what comes out on that when we do it. But it'll be a fantastic evening. He has a heart that just melts your heart when you see the heart of this man. And it's just like when we had Ronnie. Ronnie, his background being Jewish and being agnostic,
but
then being saved.
Tell about Jim's night.
Oh, Jim's night. Okay, excuse me. Okay, slap me a little bit. This is going to be one of the most exciting evenings we've had, because we're going to do, not only are we going to have Jim teaching, but in the evening after he teaches on the first day, he's going to teach about the Spring Feast of the Lord, and then we're going to go into a Bedouin feast just like they did 2,000 years ago. And we're going to actually eat. You'll sit on the floor and you'll eat a lot of different variety of Mediterranean foods. What an exciting time. We'll have dance. We actually have a new dance group that's coming with us to join us.
And Lenny and Varder are coming also for music. It's going to be a big to-do.
It's going to be a hoot. And if you've never been to one of our hoots, you have missed it, because they're all just a gas. And we're going to have dance teams. We're going to have we're going to have a lot of resource material. It's going to be just a fun time.
You have friends who are not in the Hebraic understanding yet, bring them, because this is one of the entry points.
And good truth, if you need something to get, good truth and tradition if you haven't seen it. And you can call in at 503-316-1220 and get one.
Hey, Nehemiah here. I want to share something with you, some breaking news regarding Bible translation. In fact, I have here one of the Renewed Covenant Bible translations taken directly from the Aramaic. It's amazing. And this being taken from the language that Yeshua and his disciples actually spoke, and it was not King James or Greek. Hey, at any rate, I want to share a testimonial from a listener to the show and let him tell you what he thinks.
It's been an incredible blessing. I stumbled across it, so I started researching, and the appendix is incredible. The study notes are incredible. Just reading the Word, it kind of really takes out a lot of the little traps that seem to be in other translations that get you into doctrinal traps. So I really recommend anybody picking this thing up. It's worth money. I couldn't recommend it more.
Hey, you can get a copy of this Bible right here exclusively by calling 503-316-1220. Ask for Don or Jamie.
And don't forget to tune in to Torah to the Nations weekdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 1220.
Welcome back to Torah to the Nations and KPJC Broadcasting on the JCTown.com and Torah to the Nations and many other websites that have a listen to button. A lot of our speakers have that on their websites.
They do.
And we also have the Hebrew Nation Radio Network on satellite, and that is just started, and we've had people respond to us that are listening to it, and I guess that now it's coming in clearly. Everything is lined up, so things are getting better. If it's not, let us know, and we'll make sure it gets corrected.
Absolutely. And I want to welcome somebody from Texas. We've got Gene and Laveda, and I'm not going to attempt the last name, but they have a website you might want to look at. It's called menorahmusic.com, and it's country gospel messianic music. Now, see, we're finally getting some diversity here in this community.
We're talking. We get some country in here.
That'll be great. Well, we've got Jim Staley on the line with us, so I don't want to take up a lot of his time.
Let's get back to Jim. And Jim was talking about finance and how important it is. And the tithe thing is really an issue with people because they think they have to tithe when we're not even, we don't have a temple to tithe to.
That's exactly right. And people say, well, you know, when I talk to people that may be very biblically, you know, oriented, especially pastors or teachers, they'll finally, as you begin to talk to them, admit that, okay, well, the biblical tithe is, you're right, it's in an agricultural system, it's made for the preservation and the taking care of the priests, the Levites that are surrounding the temple, that are servicing the temple. Okay, I'll give you that, Jim, but the principle of tithing is the same, and I say no, you can't have it both ways, because if you're going to say that the principle of tithing is in effect, the principle of tithing is in the particulars. There's no such thing as a principle that doesn't have particulars. And so really what they're wanting to do is to, the reality is they're wanting to take this particular doctrine and push it on their congregation to make people feel obligated to do something that they're not obligated to do. Matter of fact, let me just prove it to you of why I believe the principle of tithing or the tithing commandment is not applicable for today is because only when the people that do tithe, did you know that the average tithe in America, it's kind of funny because we really even shouldn't use the word tithe because the word tithe simply just means 10%. They're actually tithing 2%. That's the average tithe in Christian churches across the United States is 2%. So think about this for a second. First of all, the last message that anyone ever wants to hear from a pulpit is on tithing, is it not? Matter of fact, I used to remember at my old church, 10 years ago, lo and behold, every time I would have a visitor, somehow it would be on tithing. And you would just cringe going, no, not today, you know. I don't want to hear this message today. Well, for 7 years that I've been teaching in the Hebrew Roots Movement, my wife has steered me away from this topic. Jim, don't teach on tithing. Don't do it. Don't do it. And because I never told her what I have discovered in this concept or what the Holy Spirit had impressed upon me about giving and tithing. And so I said, Cheryl, you're just going to have to trust me on this because when I teach this, it's going to be the full counsel of God. And as you begin to teach people the truth of what the Scriptures, it releases them to be what they were created to be. And so what's funny, and it's not funny, it's interesting to say the least, I suppose, is that before people hear this message and their concept is tithing, either they will give 10% or they will give somewhere near 2%, and they just, you know, they do it because they're supposed to. But when people hear the true biblical message on giving, they will give far more than they ever even desired to in the past because it releases them, releases a blessing on them to know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. And so that's something that has really blown my mind to see that the fruit of this particular message has been is it just releases people to fall right into the place that they were created to be And in turn, it releases them from the spirit of mammon that's been on their life, their whole life.
Well, that, boy, I lost my voice there.
Where are you going there, Froggy?
Well, the bottom line is that people just don't understand these principles biblically, the way that, you know, you shared last week about the cycle and how it flows and how it doesn't work. It's just like everything in life. God has a plan, a purpose, and a place, the way the body works. If we didn't have veins and arteries, we wouldn't be able to have the blood circulate through the body. Money is very similar. It has to be a currency. It has to move. And you talked about some of that last week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're all parts of the body, but this is the most important part of the body in many respects is the hand. And although, you know, you could make an argument that the mind is the most important, but in reality, the hand has to be obedient to what the heart is telling it to do. And so the hand is the one that reaches out and it causes someone to come out of a ditch. It is the hand that reaches into the back pocket and says, you know what, you're $20 short on gas, you can't even come to our congregation service this week, I'm going to help you out. You know, it's the hand that goes over and helps someone, you know, paint their house or rake leaves for an elderly woman. It is the hand that gives. And that is why Yeshua, literally, virtually in every picture that anyone's ever depicted him, what is the picture? It's the picture of Yeshua standing there with his hands out. Why? Because he was the ultimate giver. He had nothing left to give, so his hands are open, and there's nothing in them except for nail prints where he gave his life. And so for some unbelievable, in my opinion, demonic reason, we have fallen so short of the glory of God, as Romans tells us, that what we're so concerned about is how much do we have to give, you know, and do we have to give 10%, and we give 10% as Yeshua gave 110%. And we are supposed to emulate our Messiah, and the body of Christ is not even giving, they're giving 2% of their lives, 2% of what he gives us, because literally 40% of it is going to the government and taxes, and the other 20% is going to things that we want to do, and the rest is going to meet our needs. And so we've come to a place where debt is ruling the body of Messiah. Interest is ruling the body of Messiah. So nothing that Yahweh actually is putting in the pipe, very little of it is coming out at the other end to affect his kingdom. And we wonder why we're so far behind in affecting the kingdom's message.
Well, Jim, at what point does one become foolish, or is there a point? For example, Cindy and I live in a storage room at the office now, or there's another a couple that have lost their house. They had a big, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 foot house, but they have a house full of furniture. They had it in storage, and they have actually given that furniture to the ministry to sell on behalf of keeping the station on the air and keeping going. And they have four kids, and they're living in a mobile home now, in a trailer. And yet they've, like us, I couldn't have more contentment or more joy. And I think that, for the most part, people are really missing out by looking at percentages at all.
You know, that's exactly my point, is that people begin to – I cannot tell you how many people have asked me, Jim, after you studied this, because somehow – you know, they look at teachers and say, these are the guys that have the time to really dig in, you know, 30, 40, 50 hours a week and find out what the Bible says about subjects. As soon as I'm done with the subject, people begin to email me if I even remotely hint that I'm finished. Oh, what did it say? You know, what does the Bible say about tithing? Should we give 10% or what? And I discovered at the end of this teaching that they're asking the wrong question. The fact that people ask the question, it tells the Father where their heart is. Their heart has become, and they don't know it, and it's not a negative thing, they're not bad people, but they've been so conditioned to check off a list that they forget that really what they're doing is they're creating a Pharisaical mindset, that what I need to do is check mark this particular part of my spiritual life, that I'm doing this for God. And people say, Jim, like we had a caller, you know, a month ago, Jim, I have been nothing but blessed ever since I've been giving, you know, my tithe, my 10%. and I try to make an argument, has nothing to do with your 10%. Your blame, no doubt, is very true that Yahweh says, you cannot outgive me. You bless my people, and I will. You give up anything for the kingdom, and I will give you 10 times more. You seek first the kingdom of God, which is his people, and I will pour out my blessings like you can't imagine. But it has nothing to do with the concept called tithing. It has everything to do with obedience, of walking out your spiritual and fiscal destiny, and it is your faith that he is honoring and that he is blessing. If you gave 12%, he would bless that. If you gave 8%, and that was the most that you could possibly give without filing bankruptcy, which in some cases is not a bad thing, he would bless that. It is all about the faith. And so, Don, you're exactly right. It has nothing to do with the percentage. It has everything to do with your obedience and where you're at. And I hope as we go through this over the next hour and a half, that we begin to unpack the fact that God's people really, in reality, they're in disobedience. And just like you and Jamie and I have found an unbelievable presence of shalom and peace, of hitting your destiny, it's because you are literally using the gifts physically and spiritually that he's given you, and you cannot. If we ever wonder why the spiritual gifts are unoperable in the church today, in large part, is because Yahweh only works through two things. He works through humility and truth. And when you don't live your life that's true to the Word of God, he cannot work fully. And so his spiritual gifts cannot fully come into maturity. But when you literally are giving your all and you're living your life for the message, every dollar that you bring in is calculated as how much is dedicated towards making sure that you survive and how much is dedicated towards the message, he begins to unlock the spirit of mammon in your life, that demonic spirit of holding you hostage, and releasing his Holy Spirit in fullness and maturity in those gifts. And that's why you become full of joy and full of peace, and your destiny becomes everything that you are created to be starts to fall in line. Your marriage starts to get fixed. Your relationships start to become deeper. Everything around you, it's like it becomes the Midas touch. Why? Because Yahweh is Midas. And he works when you live your life in spirit and truth. And so this mammon thing, which we'll talk about more, this mammon thing is paralyzing the people of Yahweh and causing them to literally serve another master. And when you're not in the presence of the king, you're in the presence of a different king, and you're going to have different blessings, or I should say different curses, and some of them are so subtle we don't even see them.
Jim, I know for me that I have always had a mindset that if I were being blessed financially, then I must be okay with God, with Yahweh. And I did a 25-minute message. It's my weekend teaching that I do every now and then. And it was a letter to my dad, because he has the mindset, too, that, Don, why aren't you using the talents God has given you to make money for the kingdom? And in fact, why aren't you taking care of the family business better? Well, I believe I am taking care of my father's business. And it's a complete mindset to put that first and let everything else come in. In fact, I believe there's a verse like that, isn't there, Jamie? Seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh, and all these things will be added to you. Yeah.
And there's a lot more in Deuteronomy 8:18, but if thou will remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. It's about his covenant. People leave that part out, which he sware unto your fathers as it is this day. We have to do the covenant of our father, the covenant that he set up for us, and then he'll let everything flow towards us because we're seeking first his kingdom, his covenant.
You know, let me ask you a question to those out there that would take that mindset. Well, wait a minute. You know, Jim, you used to be a financial consultant. You know, you had so much going for you. You could have made so much money for the kingdom, you know, just like you had mentioned, Don, that your father had said. But the reality is, let me ask you a question. Do you think out of a couple hundred thousand Levites in ancient Israel that there was not a handful of incredible entrepreneurs with phenomenal savvy, that had the ability, the Midas touch, to go and make money for the temple? Do you not think that Yahweh created out of all of those Levites some of them that had the ability to start their own businesses, if you will, and had tremendous assets to be able to make money, but yet they were called to service the temple? So do you not think that Yahweh looked into each one of those people's lives and said, okay, well, actually, this person has the gift of making money, which is important for the kingdom, but that's not really, you know, what I want them to do. I want them to walk in the service of the temple.
Well, Jim, Jim, we're going to have to take a break, but
that's exactly what happened, and we'll catch that on the other side.
Great. We'll be right back.
Don, welcome back to Tour to the Nations, broadcasting all over the world. You know, what a great topic. We're talking about gaining wealth and how to understand, not even gaining wealth, we're talking about how to understand how to operate in this world in the way that Yahweh would have us do it. And, you know, I the reason I'm thinking about the wealth end of it, you just had Christian Car Guy on.
Yep.
And I sold cars for many years.
Well, there was an advertisement for that.
I know, but I sold cars for many years. And I remember when I, you know, was trying really hard, and Jim's talked about his financial career and success, I really tried to dedicate my heart to God, but still I was serving in that capacity either as a salesman or sales manager or finance manager, where, you know, when you make 10, and I've made 10, 12, 14,000 a month doing that, your mind is set on making money. Your mind is set on making money. And I guarantee you, you're not thinking about Yahweh. Even though I had a little plaque on my desk calling my, said Reverend, called me Reverend. And I talked about the Bible to everybody. But you know what?
That as was a finance manager? You were saying, wow, okay.
And people would talk to me about the Bible. But you know what? It was not real. It wasn't right. Because my heart was still making, you know, who was I serving? I thought I was serving Yahweh by doing that. But, you know, the ultimate bottom line in my heart, Jim, was not serving God. I was trying to make that money. I was putting something before God. I mean, the true Yahweh.
And by the way, if we had a Hebrew car guy that could have replaced the Christian car guy, we'd probably do that,
too.
We'd
get in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Hey, quick into it, I do have a question from Ireland. Martin wasn't able to call in on Skype. And by the way, you can call in live and ask questions from any place in the world on Skype. It's just DONWYANT on Skype. Martin says, hey, Don, we have been busy handing out truth and tradition and have been had very positive response. And my sister in Cardiff is on board with Jim's teachings. What does Jim recommend next? Identity crisis or a great church audit or something else? Shalom to all. Jim.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did you hear the question?
Once somebody watches Truth or Tradition as a side note, then I encourage them to watch Identity Crisis or the Feast Days. The God's Prophetic Calendar is a good one that gets people really excited about understanding how there is a hidden calendar found in the Scriptures that we have never learned in mainstream Christianity. And those calendar days, those seven holy days, are all about the Messiah, every single one of them. Four of them about his first return, and three of them about his second return. And so a lot of people get very excited about God's prophetic calendar for the simple simple reason that they've never heard anything about his holy days, his calendar. And so I would encourage them to watch probably those two.
So that's what you're teaching on when you come out in August, too, is that prophetic calendar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, we will be talking a lot about that prophetic calendar, and we'll get down in the nitty-gritty and see what the Lord wants to do. But, yeah, for a new believer, that is one of the most exciting things. And sometimes for us that have been in this for a little while, it's really hard to remember back when you never heard it before, that first time that you heard anything about the feast days. It's overwhelming. The information is so amazing. It's so prophetic. It's so profound, yet so simple, that it's like eating bread while you've been starving for years, and you just want more and more and more. And so I think it's wise to do an entire conference that revolves around those feast days.
Well, that's really good, Jim. And we are, I tell you what, the excitement is building about this conference. We only have 200 seats, unfortunately, in the auditorium. I know we haven't even advertised, and we have several people that have already registered and signed up. And we're actually putting out some advertisement commercial. We're working on that today so that it'll be on the radio. But we really want to encourage people, if you're interested in this feast and really learning the word like you've never seen it, we're not only going to have Jim for the feast, but we're also going to have a special teaching by Eric Bissell about the Paleo Hebrew, which I know Jim is excited about. We sent him a chart, and, it's just some great information is going to be here. Moshe is going to be here Friday night talking about Ephraim and the two sticks.
Dan and Sylvia Calderon are coming down with the dance team.
And then we have the new we have other people that are coming. We may even have dancers that you just got to come. I'm talking to some Indian dancers that may come and show us where we can compare the Hebrew and the Indian dance.
We're talking about that still.
So, yeah, we're talking about that. But anyway, everything is going to be one exciting time. So, Jim, let's get back to the topic because I know people want to talk about it. And we want them to call in and ask questions.
I think after the break, get that number written down. We want Jim to be able to have some uninterrupted teaching for a minute. But after the top of the hour, we're going to be taking some calls at 503-316-1220.
So, Jim, you know, we were right in the middle of it and we stopped and we want to go back to, you know, there's just so much richness in this because our lives revolve around the mammon, money, because we think that's what we have to have to survive in this world. And when you get a different concept, when you make that shift, your life really does change.
It really does. And, you know, one of the points I was trying to make before the break is that I have heard the same thing, Jim. You know, you are really cutting short, you know, the kingdom of God, because you have the ability to run a business and you have the ability to manage things and so on and so forth. And you were so good at it, and you went from making all of this money, which now you finally realize that it's not about money, and you could be giving all of that money into the kingdom, and now you're making nothing. You're practically bankrupt, and you have no ability to sow into the kingdom. And I just cringe at that because they don't understand what it's all about. They're missing it. I am sowing far more than I ever sowed into the kingdom financially. And here's a thought. If going back to the ancient Levites, if every single ancient Levite that had the ability to understand finance left the Levitical priesthood to go make money to send it back to the priesthood, now you have every Levite that's now working for the temple has no idea anything about money. And so let me ask the question to, you know, your father and to those out there that would have that mindset. Do you want people sending millions of dollars to people in ministry that have no idea how to manage it? That would be a scary situation. And so what happens is I believe that he begins to send people that have the mindset, that have the ability, that have the training to know what true money is supposed to be used for, that not only know that, but they know how to manage it and work in business. Then what happens is you have ministries that are very well run, and they're fiscally responsible, they're accountable, and they're going to use the money in a way that is authorized by the scriptures. And so that's the only point that I was making, is we need people in the ministry that are dedicating their lives full time, so that when those that are out there that are making, you know, the incomes that can support the work and the mission of the Father, that we'll know how to use it. Those ministries will be fiscally responsible and accountable to be able to use it properly.
Jim, we've seen that. I'm going to finish this thought, and then you can get on to where you're going, Jamie. We've seen that with, you know, Creflo Dollar, or in my dad's case, Jim Baker, and all kinds of different generations of money going to ministries, people pouring in millions and millions of ministries in order to buy golden toilet seats and, you know, those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, we have forgotten what it means. I don't even know if we've forgotten. I don't think we've ever learned what the true value of a dollar is. I don't think we've truly ever learned in this generation. Now, past generations, I think, understood this. But this generation is a unique generation where everything is fast. It's high dollar. It's quality. I mean, the clothes you wear are important. I mean, the car that you drive. I mean, the house that you live in. I mean, everything is keeping up with the Joneses to such a degree that it's creating a void inside of people. And I believe that Yahweh is going to take back the land. He's going to take back his jubilee. What I mean by that is he is going to cause things to get harder and harder and harder until his people realize that this is not what it's all about. He's going to stress his people out. He's going to create anxiety, fiscal irresponsibility on the government's part. I mean, whatever it takes, the dollar is going to crash, whatever it takes. I can guarantee you this is a scriptural precedent. When his people get out of line, he will collapse the monetary system to bring them back into line, because he will not have his people serving two masters for a lengthy period of time. He will not. He's a jealous God. He gives us an enormous amount of time to repent. But if we live our lives in such a way that every single dollar, if you're in the sound of my voice right now and every dollar that's coming in is going back out, then you are out of the will of God. It is that simple. The scriptures tell us that the money that comes in, he is the one that takes care of the clothes on your back and the food that comes into your mouth, and he takes care of the shelter that is over top of you. You really don't even have to even hardly do anything for that to happen outside of just work. He will bring the over fruit for your labors. Just be in obedience. But if you can't have anything going out into his kingdom, which is the whole point, is the water flow comes over the waterfall, and it's supposed to drop into the basin where it gets a deep pool for people to bathe. If that water never hits that basin, that is not the will of Yahweh. And so if it gets rerouted in some way, shape, or form, you will feel the repercussions of the enemy stroking your finances and stroking everything around you. The presence of the enemy is in rerouting the life-giving water supply that's supposed to go downstream. So we have got to start preaching and teaching people what the Bible says about money. It is not about giving your 10%. It is about completely getting yourself out of debt so that you can completely follow the will of the Father in your life, which means this: drawing a circle around your finances and saying, this is what I need to live a life that is modest and that is satisfactory to where I'm at right now. Not where I want to be and not all my lust of the flesh, but where I know God wants me to be. Maybe it's downsizing this and that and the other to get there, but this is the amount that I need. I need to bring in $6,000 a month as an average family, and then every dollar after that, forget the 10%, 5%, 20%, every dollar after that goes into the kingdom to fulfill what he wants me to do. And I can tell you from personal testimony and testimonies of people around me that those that do that and don't count percentages, but they literally, they realize that everything out of that circle is not theirs. They live the most richest, fullest, life-giving lives that you could possibly live. And it is not about money. It is not about comfort. It is about being in the middle of your destiny. It's about accomplishing and being a part of something that not only is exciting, but that is God-breathed and Yahweh-led. That's what this whole concept of money is about coming back to the altar and meeting with your spouse and living and loving with everything in you, not just 2%, not just 10%.
That's, you know, I think the Levites you were talking about earlier, with all those Levites in the temple that were serving, their heart and mind was serving Yahweh. And if you take the temple away, which we did, and then you have those Levites that are in the world, you look who owns 3%, 3% of the world's population owns 90% of the money. And who are those people? They're the people that were serving another system. They were serving true Yahweh. And then a lot of the Jewish people have gotten into the world. They run the banking systems. They run the movie industry. They run a lot of things that control money. Why? Because they have put their mind into that. And I tell you, it's where your mind is, your heart is also.
That's exactly right. And unfortunately, you know, the truth is that there are a lot of people out there that know how to make money, but there's not a whole lot of people out there that understand what money is for, and what assets are for. And money is just the smallest part of what people give. When you give from your back wallet, according to the scriptures, you're giving from your heart. When you do it right, because from out of the heart, the mouth speaks, if you will. From out of the heart, your hand gives. You cannot just give money, unless you're completely callous. You can't just write a check. If you actually do what you're supposed to do, it comes from your heart. And so when you give unto the least of these, you're giving unto the Messiah. You are giving of yourself, you are giving of your heart. And this is why last week, Jamie, we spent so much time going over the concept of the bridegroom and the concept of the covenant of marriage, because there's only two covenants that we make in this life. And it is the covenant that you make with your bride, for men, or your spouse, and there's the covenant that you make with your husband, the Messiah. It is only those two covenants, and it is an amazing concept to realize that everything that happens in our physical relationships with our spouses mirror the relationship that you have with your heavenly spouse, with Messiah. And so when you say, you know, do you, when we have these traditional wedding vows, you know, do you, Mr. Jones, take Mrs., you know, Smith to be your wife, to live together after God's ordinances in the holy state of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor her, keep her in sickness and in health, for richer, for poor, for better, for worse, in sadness and joy? You know, so on and so forth, you know, and it says, bestow upon her your heart's deepest devotion, forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live. And we all say, every one of us say, I do. Now, some of us say, I do, in the form of a question.
I do, Jim. We got to take a break. We got to, I do.
I do.
We all got to take a break. Sorry about that, Jim. That is some great information. We'll be right back with you. Get your questions. Call in.
Welcome to Torah to the Nations, where we study the Hebrew roots of our faith, brought to you by Tree of Life Outlet in Lincoln City. Phone lines are open at 503-316-1220, or contact Don at thejctown.com or Jamie at thejctown.com.
Welcome back to Torah to the Nations. See, I can't do the Torah land thing. I got to put a little into it. So,
yeah, Wolfman Jack or something. Wolfman. Oh,
well, you know, there's a lot of ways you can reach us, and we kind of held off there taking some calls during the first hour, but you can call in 503-316-1220. And, Jamie, I'm going to answer the phone right now, but why don't you talk to a little bit about what we were discussing during the break, because that was so right on.
Okay, we were talking about, you know, wealth. And in my life, I'm a little older. I've been through times where I've made a lot of money. But when I did it, because I've always wanted to serve God, and I've always said that my purpose is to love God with all my heart, all my mind, and all my soul. My problem has been that I thought in my mind I was serving and loving God when I would talk about Him, or I would read Scripture to people in my business or whatever. I was a witness. That's true, but where is your heart? You know, the heart, the bottom line, is your heart really sold out to what you're doing with Yahweh? If it's not, then there's going to be things that slip in, and there's darts, and there's darknesses, and there's holes that are filled. If you serve mammon, and which I have done, you get mammon, because that's a principle. You serve it, you get it. And the more you get it, the more you do with mammon, you know, you serve it, you're going to get more of it. That's the way it works. Until you seek first the kingdom of God with all your heart, mind, and soul, do you really receive what God has in store for you? When you want to lay down your life and you become like a, if you will, where you really decide that that's your principle and you don't have mammon in front of it, you got to see the priorities. You got to put them lined up with the way that they have to work. And you got to check yourself with the word. It's always the word. And I'll give you an example. It says, but thou shalt remember Yahweh thy Elohim, or the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant and swear unto thy father. The thing where it says, and I'm just going to do this real quick, because we're getting Jim back on the line, but thou shalt remember, those words are, you have a, in the Hebrew, you have what they call the Zion, and then you have the Kuf, and then you have the Resh. And if you look at those, the Zion means to cut off or separate. Cut off. But if thou shalt remember, you cut off and separate. And then the Kuf means it's like a hand that's open. It's a filter. It's like something you lay on the altar, and you let the meat drip through, and you let the bad fall on that, fall away, and then you let the meat or the sweet savor to Father go. It's like you cut away. You cut away the bad, and you go to the, and then you let the head, your head, be concentrated on a purpose. And that's where you remember Yahweh and you do the covenant. That's so important that we know that he's going to give you everything you need when you serve him first. And you put his mindset that you're serving him, so that you allow that to happen in your life. He'll cut away the other, and you'll filter out the other stuff, so your head really responds to Yahweh. But the only way that happens is if you put the word on. You have to get your mind into the word, because what you think about is what you are.
Well, do you know why this is so real? And so you can tell it comes from such passion with Jamie and I, and Jim for, as well, because we've been there. We've served that God of mammon, and now with all of our hearts and all of our bodies and all of our souls and everything, our spirits, we're saying, enough of this world. That's enough. We've sold out. We didn't mean to. We didn't know. We just were there, just like all of you, mostly. Most of us are there, and we're saying, enough. So, you know, that's what it's all about today. And I know we've got Jim Staley on the line. You can call in and talk with him at 503-316-1220. You can Skype me if you're overseas or out of the area, Don, D-O-N-W-Y-A-N-T on Skype. And you can actually come on the air and talk too. And how else? Email Don at T2TN.com, Jamie at T2TN.com. And we're out to change your minds, not because we have anything to do with it, but because the Holy Spirit is working through this. The Ruach HaKodesh is pushing the will of the Father out over the airwaves across the world right now.
Yep. If we don't change the way we think about this topic, Jim, we're not going to really get what Yahweh has for us to do.
You're exactly right, and I want to go back to this word picture, this very real word picture or analogy of the marriage, the parallelism of a marriage here, the wedding vows, because we tell our spouses that we will bestow upon her our heart's deepest devotion, forsaking all others, keeping ourselves only unto her as long as we both shall live. And if that's what we're saying to our spouse here on earth, marriage analogy in the scripture, the whole ketubah is all about, you know, coming to our Messiah as our husband and we are the bride, then what are we giving to our spouse? Are we truly giving him our heart's deepest devotion? I mean, think about it this way. Think about it as if we as husbands, you know, we're the financial breadwinner in the family, and we literally spent every dollar that we made. We had not one, because of all of our bills and everything that we do, we had not one single dollar to give to our spouse, meaning that to take her out for dinner, you know, to buy her, a gift for her birthday or anniversary or what have you. There was nothing left over to give to your spouse. Over time, there is going to create a rift in that marriage, because the wife is going to begin to feel like everything is about you, that you've made poor financial decisions, that you are selfish, that everything you do revolves around yourself, and there's nothing for me. There's nothing to give. And we would never do that in a relationship. Let's hope not. But the reality is that's what's happening within the bride of Christ today, is we have nothing to offer our husband at the end of the day. And we even will say things like this: well, okay, Jim, I get it, you know, but I'm so up to my ears in debt. You know, I don't even know whether to use, you know, extra money to pay down my debt or use it to sow into the kingdom. And the answer to that is quite frankly very simple: is to get out of debt. If that means that you have to sell your house or repossess your cars, as I did, quite frankly, why do we hold our credit score in such high regard, almost as an idol, that we don't want to damage our credit score so we can go out and get more debt? The truth is, I used to have a 700-plus credit score. Now my credit score is completely shot, but I don't owe anybody hardly anything. And I've never been happier, and I pay things for cash, and if I don't need them, if I can't afford it, I don't need it. And so my point is this, is that, ladies and gentlemen, we have got to get back to our wedding vows. We have broken our wedding vows in this area, and it is paralyzing the mission. And I'll tell you one other thing I think that's happening, guys, is that Yahweh is preparing his people to get ready. In other words, he always changes the mind before it actually ends up in reality changing the kingdom. And so what I'm going to suggest is this, is that maybe it's only been up till now that you've never really had something that you truly believed in to give to. Maybe, you know, it is difficult to give to the local church when you were in, you know, when you were going to mainstream, you know, Christian churches, because something deep down in your spirit just didn't feel right about whatever was coming out. Your spirit wasn't recognizing that. Maybe that's why 2% is what people average give. But what if the pulpit was preaching all of the gospel, both of the spirit and the truth, and your spirit completely witnessed with it? Maybe now is the time. Over the last 2,000 years, where the people of God finally have the ability to give and be 100% excited about it, because they see where every dollar is going, is not into brick and mortar, but it's going into people's lives. It's going into bringing more people that are called to be in full-time ministry to be in full-time ministry. It's going to market, to send the message out to the nation. So for the first time, maybe now is the time that people have something to rally around, get excited about, and be a part of it.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Jim, because people, I see it all the time. I went to a church the other day. There's no new life coming into the churches because there's no new life going out. I mean, we have to get our hearts right. It's not just to go sit. It's to live this lifestyle. We have to serve him in every capacity. And the only way you can do that is go to the scriptures. And I know that that's what has changed me, is going back to the original going back to the Torah, going back to the whole Word of God, and it takes time. That's why we're so thankful we have so many teachers like yourself to help people get there fast, because that is what changes us. That Word, it's the Word, the Word, the Word is what's going to change you from the inside out. Look, watching this TV, doing these other things isn't going to get us where we flow in this, even in the lifestyle of money, if you will. That's a currency. It's the current. It gets us around. Even in that aspect, we won't flow in it until we get our hearts right.
It really is. And it is more of a mindset and a paradigm shift than anything. Whereas we are now taking, you know, the average person in the pew looks at their tithe and their offerings as a bill. It's like the electric bill or the water bill or the phone bill or their mortgage payment. It's something that they know that they're supposed to do. Instead of taking it and looking at this as saying, okay, here's my bills. Father, show me where I can put the rest of it. Because, see, he provides provision. And we forget what the word provision actually means. The word pro means for, and obviously vision. So money is designed for the vision. And I see this amazing scripture that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And that's what's happening, is no one has vision. And I'm going to suggest, because from the pulpit, people are not getting the true vision of Yahweh. And his vision is, his eyesight is on restoring the kingdom of Israel back to its covenantal promises. And so as you begin to see the covenant restored and the vision and the cataracts falling off of the scales, falling off the eyes, people will begin to see clearly. And I believe a message like this is really, even though this message is kind of just a recap of the last few times, this message is designed to help people that as they see the vision, as the Father removes their eyes and they can begin to see what we call Hebrew roots or the covenant, literally the next step is to get behind the visionaries, get behind the ones that are on the tip of the sword, and be the handle, be the one that thrust it into the side of the enemy. We can't do that without people supporting us with their emails of encouragement, from their finances to their talents. I mean, all of these things happen, but literally the sword has been dusty and put in its sheath for so many years because the vision is just not been there. Now the vision is there, and now it's time for God's people to get back to their covenant vows and start funding what Yahweh wants to do to get the mission out there and the message.
And, you know, if you have any questions with Jim on the line, he has practical applications on how this can work for you. Call in at 503-316-1220. This is a topic that a lot of people don't like to get honest and talk about, but get honest about this. Like I was telling you earlier, my heart, even though I thought I was doing right, the honesty, if you really look at the real truth of my heart, when I was selling cars, making 14 grand a month, it was about money. I mean, I don't care what when I look back, I say, the reason I could do that was because I focused and I put my life and my blood, my soul into making money. And that's what happens. If you put it into Yahweh first, then you're going to be able to do your job. Because I think it's just a perspective. It's the way we work, the way we think is what really makes a difference.
Well, it was the same way with me, Jamie. I was national committee man for the youngest one in the history of the world for the Republicans. I was a county commissioner, and I had lots of money. And I thought, you know what? I'm out there talking to bums out in the courthouse and being a good light for Jesus in all this. And yet the center of my life was still me and my comfort and what made me feel good and my understanding and my power base and so on. And I really had to die to a lot of things before I could be used.
I've seen it in ministry too, Jim, and you have too. I mean, even with ministers, when they get to that point where this stuff is controlling them, even though they're talking Yahweh, talking God, it happens because Satan is so deceptive.
That's exactly right. You know, I mean, what happens is people don't realize this, and I think maybe I have a very unique, and you guys have a unique perspective on this, because, you know, when I, you know, started to make money, you know, I started out in the siding window business, you know, 17 years ago.
Me too.
Selling siding and windows, and I came into a business with 10 salesmen that were all, you know, 10, 15 years in the business, and I broke the company record in the first month times two. And they were blown away that this young guy come in, and every single business that I've ever been in, I've been very successful at. And what I did not realize is very quickly, my circle, we talked about drawing a circle around your finances. Mine was a spiral. Mine was a spiral that was out of control. That the more money that I made, the more that I gave away, But the more that I spent on myself, and I didn't realize that the larger houses and the nicer cars were, you know, there was always a justification for it. Well, I give away more money than anybody that I know. Well, so what? So did the Pharisees. But the widow outgave them 100 to 1 because she gave everything she had. I mean, look at Zacchaeus. He gave 50% of his income, and I didn't even come close to doing that. And so, you know, it becomes a paradigm shift where you literally begin to say, you know what, why is it that I have to have, you know, $5,000, you know, bedroom furniture that all matches and looks beautiful? Who the heck comes into your bedroom anyway?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, it's just a mindset. It's a paradigm shift in American culture that needs to happen amongst, you know, Christians today and those that
call the name of the Messiah. We have a caller on the line, but we also have to take a break, and we are going to be right back with you at 503-316-1220. And where was that yesterday, Don, when we needed it? That was really good.
I tried
good.
To come up with that yesterday, but I ran out of time for it. Hey, Jude's on the line with us, and hopefully this is all going to work out. We'll see. We keep dropping calls, but what do you hear?
You have a busy on the line.
That would be this one right there. Jude, are you still there?
I'm here.
Jim, are you there? Hello? I think we dropped Jim.
Jim, Jude, did we drop everybody? Do we have Jim, Jude, or Jim?
We have Jude. We don't have Jim.
Is
Jim,
if you're... No, this is terrible. You know, we're just dealing with this old phone system, and we put one person on, somebody else drops off. So I'm going to go back off and get Jim, I hope.
Okay. Jude, do you, you know, you have a question, or you want to, you know, I haven't seen you since last era Shabbat. Just tell everybody about the little trip up to Seattle real quick.
Oh, that was so much... a blessing to me to spend time with Ronnie and Cindy in the car. I told someone it was like my whole car was filled with light. It was fun and just a really good fellowship time. Didn't you think so?
Oh, it was a great time. I mean, it didn't seem like it was 12 hours, that's for sure. We spent 12 and a half hours, and there it was. It was all over. It was a great time.
Well, it was a good time and wonderful to be with you, too.
Well, thank you. Well, we're going to get Jim back on the line, and what kind of question do you have for Jim? He's not on the line yet, but he's probably...
All right, here's the deal, Jamie. I'll just ask you, and then I'll get off the phone so someone else can call in and get dropped.
Okay.
Okay. You know, I found a ministry to give to about the time I started my little business. And I'd had so much fun giving, and I decided that I would give a certain percentage, you know, before of the growth, before I did anything else. Okay, what I want to ask Jim is this. Now my little business is in not such good financial shape, which, you know, we'll probably pull out of. In the meantime, though, I'm confused about where do I, you know, I like the idea of giving first and then paying my bills. But maybe I should be paying my bills and then giving. I don't know. So that's kind of my question. Do you get that?
I got that, and that was a good question. Thank you very much, Jude.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jim, are you back on the line? Uh-oh. I think we lost him. Okay. Well, we'll get Jim back on the line. Well, the question was, you know, Jude was saying that she had a business and she was giving 10% of her money right off the top, and her business was prospering. It was doing really well, and everything was going good. But then as she's been changing, you know, things have changed, economy's changed. She didn't go into that, but things have changed, and she seems not to be getting the blessings that she was getting because, you know, she's not doing it the same way. And, you know, I think that is a really great question, Don, because a lot of people that go into making this dynamic mindset change, when you make this, as Jim was talking about, this shift of your mind, what I have found, and Jim can answer it his way, but what I have found, what happens to individuals and to me and others, yes, we decide that we want to give God and sell out to God, Yahweh or Elohim, with all our heart, with all our mind, and with all our soul. But we've been used to doing things the way we've used to do. We gave 10%, we got blessed. Our business got, we gave it to this ministry or that ministry. And because we tithed, we saw the blessings. Then we said, okay, I'm really liking this Hebrew stuff. I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to tithe differently. And all of a sudden, the blessings quit coming.
Well,
And that has happened. Are you going to finish up or you want me to answer that? No, I'm going to let you answer. But what happens is, I'm going to let you answer it and then I can tell you what I...
You can tell me if I'm right.
Well, either way. I mean, I can tell you what I believe. No, we're not always right. I just tell you what I think.
But, Jim, if you're listening in, you're there. I bet that's him. So I'm not going to get the chance to do that. I'm going to answer the phone. How's that?
Okay. Well, my answer to that is that it's a hard issue. It's a hard issue. Okay. I have changed who I'm, you know, the way I'm giving. I'm learning so much more on the end of understanding my Hebrew roots, understanding the paradigm shift that I'm going through. But I still have these habits and these conditions in my mind and in my heart. And I haven't really transferred what I'm doing this for, why I'm doing. I'm just moving this tithe, if you will, to this other group, and I don't see the blessings coming in. Well, guess what?
Well, we have Jude back on. That wasn't her question, she said.
Oh, okay. Good. We'll get her back on.
So go ahead.
Hi, is Jim on the line?
No, he's not back yet. We're still trying to get him. What I was trying to ask is this.
No, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned about the blessings. I know that Yah is faithful. And whether my business is up or down, still he is in control. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm concerned about with is, do I give first and pay my bills later, or do I pay my bills first and then give? That's the question. Now, you understand?
Yeah, I do. In other words, do I still, okay, giving. Do I give first and then pay my bills? Okay.
Exactly.
And we will let Jim answer. I'll let Jim answer that. I will refrain from what I believe, but I still believe it's really important how you handle that. And we'll let him answer it because he was talking about
Yeah, I don't disagree with what you said at all, Jamie. I'm just saying that wasn't the question I had.
Well, you got to watch me. Thanks, dude.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Anyway, Jim texted in. He had a phone emergency, and he'll be back with us in just a minute here. So we'll take care of that as soon as he's able to call back in. But now, what was I was on, you know, taking care of the gym
thing.
Question, so the question
the exact question is, if you have all these bills and the business isn't doing as well, and you've always given 10% of the first, do you pay your bills first or do you give 10% first? What now, you know, now that she's coming into this because she's learning all these things, mm-hmm. do you still give the 10% or you give your first off the top or not? And so I think the reason is that the tithe issue and everything
sure.
else.
Well, yeah, but we've established that tithing isn't necessarily what we're supposed to be doing.
Exactly. Well, I think we finally got Jim back on the line. But, again, it is a first fruit offering. And the first fruit offering, it's not a tithe. It's the first fruit offering. And Jim mentioned that if you gave all you could give because you got your bills in order and everything else is 8%, 6%, but it's with your whole heart, that's what you take off. You do your circle first and you get your provision, you get your needs taken care of, then everything else is for provision is the way he explained it. And I, you know, could stand corrected.
Now, we've got another caller on the line that would like to address that question. So go ahead, Alan.
Yes, and Jamie, going just with what you said there is correct, and what Jim is saying is correct, and maybe an answer to Jude's question is that we look at that whole picture of the total income from a business, and we know what that is per month. Now that can vary, you know, based like particular on Jude's business, but we know what that total is. Like you take that center out, that circle out of what we need per month, and the rest is Yahweh's. Or you can look at it as you have that total amount of money, that total income, and then you just deduct what is truly needed, because again, it's a hard issue, like Jamie was saying. So, for example, you know, if $3,000 is coming in, only $3,000 a month is coming in, and we only need $1,000 to live on, then that $2,000 is Yahweh's. But that big picture is $3,000. We know that we need again $1,000 to live. $2,000 is Yahweh's. What do you think on that?
But how does that fit into debt, for example? If you where is it if you have debt in your opinion?
Mm-hmm. In that? You know the debt. I still believe that we still should try to give a little bit, as much as possible, to Yahweh per month. Now that debt should be paid off ASAP. It's still, if at all possible, it's good to give some, as much as possible, to Yahweh in a given month or given length of time. Maybe that's not possible. Maybe the debt needs to be paid off entirely first. And then also just selling items, too, or, you know, simplifying life.
Yeah, I think that's the way, direction I would have gone, too, is that a lot of us need to change our lifestyles. I used to live in a big house, and now we don't, but that's a good thing. So I'm going to answer another phone call, Alan.
Okay.
Hey, I'm going to be looking for that check coming in.
Okay, thanks, Don.
Bye.
Well, you know, one other thing real quickly. Some people do have the gift of giving, so they may want, it may be God's call on their life to be making income. But again, the hard issue is most of this is Yahweh's, and then I just need some to live on. Bottom line. Thanks.
Here we go. Okay, Jim, are you back with us? Hello?
No. Quit looking for him. He had an emergency.
Okay,
we may be finishing the show.
I thought you had that. Okay.
Well, I've got to take another break here in just a few minutes. So.
Well, let me go back to what he was talking about. Again, it goes back to need and want, Don. Need and want. And that is a hard issue. Our needs and our wants are hard issues. I mean, it's like, you know, for me and for you. For me to not have the things that I used to have.
Well, I think Alan was right on that.
Oh, no. But it's need. He was talking about needs and wants. How do you pay off all your bills? I think what he was referring to. And give everything you can to Yahweh that also keeps you down.
Here's the bottom line. All of us have thought that we needed that 46-inch flat-screen TV. All of us have thought, I get a vacation all the time. All of us have thought, these are things that are due me. Nothing is due us.
That's exactly right. Nothing is due us. And those extra things that we've always had that we thought we needed, they're not necessarily what we do need. You know, and again, getting ready for what is to come, the less we have a burden keeping us back. You know, if you have to get out of town one day in a hurry and you have to grab something and run, because what are you going to grab? If you got all these things that you've put so much energy and trust in and all these wonderful toys, well, you know, you're going to be really confused on what to do. I mean, simplify your life is what Don's saying, and you can still be as happy as you ever were and probably more happy because you're getting the stuff out of your life. You're getting that stuff away from keeping you or holding you back. And I'm saying everybody's different. This is a decision. It's a hard issue. It's a decision between you and Yahweh. You got to figure out how you want to do it. So that is really important for us to think about and do. So we appreciate your calls. If you want to call in at 503-316-1220, the phone's ringing off the hook over here, but Don has to run this board. He doesn't want to lose it. So I think we have Jim back on the line finally. Is that correct, Jim? Are you on with us?
I'm here. I apologize. Had a little phone emergency there.
No trouble. We've had some questions about debt while you were away, and we've been talking about it. One of the things that the question was, what do you do with debt when you've got it, and what's the priority? You have the circle of personal expenses, and everything beyond that goes to Yahweh. What if there is this blockage in the way, and you have to get rid of debt? What's the higher priority? What you've been giving to your fellowship or the ministry that Yahweh's laid in your heart, or to get rid of the debt first?
Great question. First of all, if I lent you $100 and I wanted to make sure that money was mine, I lent it to you. Okay, so it's a loan. It's not your money. It's my money.
Hey,
but
Jim,
I'm loaning to you because you need it.
Hold on. I'm sorry. Right. You know what? Unfortunately, your call came back in right at break time. So let's handle this one on the other side. Okay. We're going to go ahead, hit our break as we have to. You can call in. We have some great topics to talk about here and some good answers. 503-316-1220.
And we'll be right back with you. And, you know, that other question was, Jim, what do you do, you know, if you have a huge debt? Do you give first to your debt or you give first, you know, really, what do you do with your money? How do you figure this out? I think we can do that when you come right back with you.
Hey, Nehemiah here. I want to share something with you, some breaking news regarding Bible translation. In fact, I have here one of the Renewed Covenant Bible translations taken directly from the Aramaic. It's amazing. And this being taken from the language that Yeshua and his disciples actually spoke. And it was not King James or Greek.
Hey, at any rate, I want to share a testimonial from a listener to the show and let him tell you what he thinks.
It's been an incredible blessing. I stumbled across it, so I started researching, and the appendix is incredible. The study notes are incredible. Just reading the Word, it kind of really takes out a lot of the little traps that seem to be in other translations that get you into doctrinal trap. So I really recommend anybody picking this thing up. It's worth money. I couldn't recommend it more.
Hey, you can get a copy of this Bible right here exclusively by calling 503-316-1220. Ask for Don or Jamie.
And don't forget to tune in to Torah to the Nations weekdays at 8 a.m. right here on AM 1220.
If you're listening to this station, then what you're listening to is a shovel. That's right, a shovel. Proverbs 25 says it's the glory of Yahweh to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search them out. And in Matthew 13, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field. What we're giving you is a tool to discover vast treasure and great wealth in Scripture. Don't rob your family or leave your friends behind in poverty. Tell them about KPJC, heard streaming on the internet from any place in the world at thejctown.com. It's radio you can't get anyplace else.
This is Torah to the Nations, and welcome back.
You didn't have microphones,
huh? Yeah, we didn't have microphones. Well, it's a great show that we got going on. People are calling, and I got a little quiet during the break. They can call in at 503-316-1220. We have that one line clear, and we do have Jim on the line. So really, we can take about one at a time. So if you call, Don will tell you to call back as soon as you know. We'll try to keep it online.
I can talk to you. But
so we'll talk to you about difficult. It. So call in, and we'll do that. Jim? You're back with us. Go ahead and...
All right, let's keep going here quickly because we're going to run out of time here. If I give someone $100 and ask them, loan them $100 for their particular situation, but the only thing that I require is I require that they give me 20% of that at the end of the month and make sure that the 20% of it comes back at the end of the month, and that's how they're going to pay me back. At the end of the month, if they come to me and say, listen, you know, Mr. Staley, I appreciate the $100, gift, but the reality is that I don't have any money left. I got caught up in this and that and the interest and the government and taxes, and I don't have anything left to give. What does that say ultimately to the person that loaned you the money? Is that you were a bad steward of that money. And so I'm going to be less hesitant to loan you any more money because you have proven to me that you're not a good steward. So now let's answer the question, which is the million-dollar question, no pun intended, that people ask, is what do I do? Because everyone's so full to the top of the brim in debt, they don't know what to do. Should I begin to give or should I pay off my debt? The truth of the matter is this, is the Scriptures are very clear. It says, seek first the kingdom of Yahweh. It does not say seek first to pay off your debt and then all your debt will be added unto you. It doesn't say that. It says first seek the kingdom of God. It is not Yahweh's fault that you are in debt. It is not God's problem that you have chosen poor decisions with your debt and with your credit cards and where you live, because no one should be in debt. And I'll prove it to you. Everyone, now this is an extreme example, but I'm just proving to you that your debt is your fault, okay? Well, I don't even care if you lost your job, all right? It, literally, all debt, according to the Scripture, we are commanded to not be in debt up to our ears, and so all debt is our fault. And here's why, is because in an extreme example, everyone can buy a tent and live in a tent, live out of a tent, still go to work, still go to job, and even if they lost their job, they would have so much money in the bank, they would be taken care of for life. And so although that is a silly, extreme example, the point is this, is that we have first have to admit that it is sin that we have fallen into. For the majority of us, it is sin. We have gotten into debt to such a degree that we have literally robbed Yahweh of being able to forward the things that He's given us for the vision. We can't even do it because we're so full of debt. So the first thing we need to do, which is the same with everything in our lives, is we need to repent. So the first thing, the first answer to your question is that we need to repent of breaking His commandment of giving and being an abundant, clear pipe that He can flow His finances through to His kingdom. That's the first thing. Secondly, what I encourage people to do is to give anyway what the Holy Spirit tells you to give. Regardless if, in other words, you pray and the Holy Spirit says, I want you to give $400 a month and I want you to give it to this particular ministry. Now, you may only have $30 a month at the end left over. But you do what he tells you to do, and if you miss credit card payments, if you lose your car, man, I know I'm going to get emails for this, then you lose your car. And maybe that's what you need to do, and buy a $500 car that gets you to where you need to go, like I did. So I know these are extreme examples, but the facts are we live in extreme situations where God's people are totally paralyzed. They can't even give because they have no money at the end of the day, and the only way to get money is to begin to get rid of the debt. And one way you can do it is they have national companies out there that will negotiate your credit card bills for 40, 50 cents on a dollar to get rid of your credit cards completely, is to pay them off with using some of these credit card companies, and then from there, you'll have more money left over at the end of the month.
Jim, we have a caller on the line. And caller, we have noise coming through your phone. Hello, caller.
Yeah, Jamie?
Yeah, you got a background going on in your house, and it's bleeding into the whole system.
Hey, go ahead and ask your question
okay
there,
now?
Tim.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead and ask a question.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I just wanted to I was thinking of the passage where it says, and I might be out of context, I hope not, but where it talks about obedience being better than sacrifice. And I just, for my own example, I think sometimes that we need to realize that if Yahweh wants us to be obedient to him, then if we're not supposed to owe anybody money, you know, like he says, though, you know, owe no man anything but to love your brother, then I'm kind of wondering how that fits into, you know, if we're supposed to be giving first, to him, being obedient would kind of be to pay off our bills first. That's kind of the way I see it. And
here's the question: are we obeying man first, or should we obey our Creator first? And listen, you married Yahweh the day that you were born. You know, you began to enter into a relationship where you're supposed to be bent towards him. And so, I 100% agree with the caller that we are supposed to be obedient. But we are supposed to be obedient to our Creator first and not to man. And so what happens is you got yourself, and all of us as believers, we're getting ourselves into debt. We're the ones that created the problem. We now need to return to Teshuvah, to repent and turn back to our God first. And then whatever happens in the financial realm, literally, we have to trust that he will forgive us, that he will have mercy on us, and he'll help us get out of it. But literally, whatever happens, it does not matter to you because your eyes are now turned towards your Creator. And so, listen, I have five kids. I live in the real world. I don't want to sound like I don't live in the real world. You know, I have a lot of debt, but I can tell you, that my debt is being eliminated very quickly because I can't pay it. I have chosen to give my all, and I can't pay my debt. So I'm willing to take the consequences for my sin. If that means bankruptcy, if it means losing my car, if it means losing my house, I'm okay with it because I know that the moment that I seek first the kingdom of God, everything comes back to me 10 times over. And so I encourage people that, listen, what people are really saying, Jamin Don, is that they're not willing to pay the consequences. And so they begin to say that, hey, I want to pay my bills off first so I can give more to God. Well, you're seeking your own satisfaction first. You need to be seeking God first. And so your income, the way that you typically are supposed to give according to the scriptures, is whatever your income is, you're going to give everything that you don't need, and you're supposed to subtract all of your debt as if it wasn't there. That's a scary situation, and that may be very difficult for people to wrap their mind around. But when you truly put him first and begin to walk in that, you will see miracles happen in your life.
Amen, brother. That's really telling it like it is. We have a caller on the line. Hello, caller?
Yeah, Jude.
Hi, it's me again. I just want to say, Mr. Staley, that this is, you know, you have just really blessed me this morning with your instruction. It's not that I don't know that I need to seek the kingdom first, but I do need to be reminded. And man, have you reminded me? And I just really thank you for that. I need encouragement, and I know I don't always make the right decisions, but it's really good to hear somebody say, do what's right.
Amen. Okay. And I appreciate that, sister, and I really do, because I'm at a point where, you know, I feel like from the Holy Spirit that we're at critical mass. We're at critical stage in the kingdom where if people don't seriously take things serious, I mean, listen, let me throw something out. It would change your life. If you knew for a fact that 3 years from now the Great Tribulation started, and I'm not saying that it is, but let's say that you knew for a fact, would that change how you pay your bills off and how much that we give into the kingdom? It would change everything. So why do we live our lives in such a way as that Messiah is not coming back? Which, if it would change your life, if you answered yes, it would change everything, then you're not living your life according to the Scriptures, because we're supposed to be living our lives like he's coming back tomorrow.
You know, Jim,
I want to get to the point where literally if I can say the Great Tribulation starts tomorrow, I wouldn't change anything because I'm already doing what I'm supposed to be doing.
If the Great Tribulation were starting tomorrow, I would probably do what I'm doing today and say, you know, there are some bills that are going to have to wait. Uh-oh, we lost Jude, I think. And anyway, that I think those things that it's, you said earlier that my discomfort isn't the issue. And we have discomfort because we have a lot of phone calls sometimes, and we have letters, and we have threats, and we have whatever. But that's, you know, it's going to be a lot worse than that later on. And right now, I want to give what I can to my King, to Yahweh.
Yeah, and you know, I do get this question. I know we're getting close to time, but I get this question a lot about what do I do when I'm so much in debt? Listen. Here's the truth. There are some people out there that can help, and you can get your credit cards reduced, and believe it or not, you can even, you know, negotiate your second mortgages and your first mortgages. I mean, there's so much out there if you just find it. What I want to tell people is this. You don't even need to ask financial consultants, and you don't need to make calls to radio stations say, what should I do? If you really want and get, if you really get the message, you will do whatever it takes, as if one of your children were stuck on a train track and you didn't have anything to untie them. You would find a way. You'd use a rock. You'd use anything. People are very creative. It's the desire and the paradigm that needs to shift. Once the desire and the mindset is shifted towards the kingdom of Yahweh, literally, he begins to give you the ingenuity to figure out how to make it work. If it was life and death, you would make it work. And so I'm submitting that we have put money, we've put our finances and giving on the bottom of the list, so it's not even on a priority on the radar screen for us to figure out how to truly get out of debt, because it's not really the greatest priority. If you want that noose out from underneath around your neck, and you want to be released from the spirit of mammon over your household, which the spirit of mammon is demonic, ladies and gentlemen, and it brings lots of other things, then you do whatever it takes in the shortest amount of period of time, and you'll see the blessings of Father come into your life like you've never seen.
And this is exactly what we have to understand. I mean, when we say we're going to follow in the footsteps of Yeshua, what did he do? You know, what did he do? How did he live? I guarantee you that when those magis came, they made him wealthy. But did he have a lot of wealth? You know, I'm just saying there's so many things that we don't understand about even what he did and how he lived his life. He was willing to give everything. And he did.
And you know, let me give you one example out of 1 Kings 17:7-24. You can read it. It's called The Widow at Zarephath. You know, out of the thousands of people that Yahweh could have sent to Elijah, okay, he sent Elijah to a woman who's collecting wood to cook her last supper. Talk about this as the first last supper. The last supper. And God asked the woman to act in faith and give part of that supper to Elijah. Think about that. Now, this woman is in debt up to her ears, if you will. She has nothing left. She's completely bankrupt. And the Lord does not say, I want you to eat your last meal and enjoy it and use it for yourself. I want you to give it away. And this is the pattern in the Scriptures on the last dime, from the widow that had two coins to the Macedonian Christians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. On and on it goes. The precedent is give to the Lord what's his. Because if you don't, ladies and gentlemen, there is no plan B to bring the message to the nations. There is no plan B. It's either the other 11 tribes support the full-time staff that's moving the message into the nations, and let the 11 tribes fund it with their finances, with their talent, and the whole nation of Israel is acting as one nation, or we quit altogether.
That's exactly right. And, this has been a great talk. I think a lot of people have received this, Jim. We really appreciate it. And, I can't wait to get you out here where you can actually spend some time. Friday evening, you're not going to be the main speaker. You're going to be able to meet the people. And I know they will just want to get to know you as who you really are. What a wonderful gift you are to this station. Thank you for being on with us.
All right, guys. Shalom and have a great week.
Shalom, you too. All right. Well, there's some life-changing things going on here, and it's a whole different paradigm. It is a shift in the way you have thought about who you are, what you are, where you belong as a people. And we're going to head out in about 30 seconds, Jamie.
Well, I just want to, on the 10th, we have Boaz Michael from First Fruits of Zion, and he's going to be bringing information about the Hebrew language and how to read it and understand it. They have he has a scholarly work that I don't think you want to miss from Franz Dirch. Anyway, it's close, but he was a rabbi of the 18th century, and he has some great information for you. You do not want to miss that one here at 3180. With Boaz Michael, look up First Fruits of Zion, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about.
You can always call us at 503-316-1220 for more information, or email me, Don at T2TN.com, or Jamie at T2TN.com.